Do you like the Star Wars? Well, welcome to the Rancor Pit, where myself, Cole Jedi Cole Houston, am joined, as always, on at least this version, by my co-host, none other than Eddie Medina.
You could call me Eddie Wan Kenobi, I suppose. I figure if you're a Jedi Cole, I have to be something, so I'm going with...
That's how we're playing this?
I guess, Eddie Wan Kenobi.
Eddie Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Can I call you Al?
You can call me Al, yes. Right. In fact, call me anything but Scott Horn, because it would get confusing. We do have a guest tonight, Mr. Scott Horn, Star Wars fan extraordinaire. Say hi, Scott.
Howdy, howdy.
You are allowed to talk on this show, by the way.
Thank you. This is the NASCAR blog post.
It is.
Right?
Yes, it is. That's the only way we could get him on the show.
Being from Southwest Arkansas, it's all hunting, fishing, and NASCAR. So yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes you a bit of an aberration, doesn't it? In Arkansas, is the Star Wars?
You have no idea. I walk in the room and start talking about my experience, and jaws just drop.
There was some racing in one of the movies, wasn't there?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely some racing. Yes.
Okay, well I can get behind that.
And some crashing and some blowing up.
And a little bit
of incest, and so, yeah.
I didn't realize how much I'd been missing all these years. Because, you know, it's like the regular NASCAR. You don't want to see anybody get hurt, but you don't want to miss it if they do.
Be dang straight.
All right. Well, with that said, we'll talk a little bit more about Star Wars. Scott has an interesting pedigree beyond being just an above-average Star Wars fan. You were actually the creator and long-running sole contributor, I guess, to Yak's Pub.
That is correct, yes. I got bored one summer and just started playing with my toys and photographed it.
So, yeah, that's what's really cool is you have... as a story I recall, did it go that you were doing some pictures for your son or something, or...?
We were playing.
Or were you just goofing around with, okay.
Yeah, we were, he invited me to his room one day to sit down and play Star Wars, and next thing I knew, he was off on an adventure, and he just totally left me.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was on his own Star Wars adventure and kind of left me over in the corner with two or three of his toys, and so one happened to be a bar piece. And I got this idea for an officer's club in the Empire, and just, I got my old digital camera that still used a serial port to pipe into the computer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's about four or five pictures to save for later.
That's much like the very first one I had, which we were looking at the other day when we were having our garage sale. And this teenage son of a friend of ours opened up the little card in it that only worked, by the way, with the...
You
had to have a separate thing to plug it into.
Yes.
But it was this gigantic card that is 8 megabytes.
Yes, and it was floppy-ish, too.
This one was more like the traditional, like your little, much like the one in my more modern camera, only the modern camera one is much tinier and holds like a billion times more data.
Well, I mean, I was taking pictures that I have Polaroids that look better than these shots.
I've seen that as well.
But 2 years later, I was sitting there during the summer, just bought a brand new camera, and so set up the thing on the bar, shot those 5 shots, shot about 10 more, stuck them on the internet, and for some odd reason, people actually liked them. And so thus started a 6-year job that I got paid nothing for.
I think Eddie and I know about those kind of jobs.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, if anybody out there is listening, yakspub.com, there's over 1,000 strips that you can flip through and read and leave feedback on and say, man, that guy wasted a lot of time.
Yeah, there everything from, I recall, like, bar fights between troopers to, like, a drunken Yoda passed out by the bar was one that springs to mind.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of wacky stuff. And what was cool about it, from what I remember, you mixed vintage and new figures together often, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A little bit of both, and usually it boiled down to had neither that character and I had not a modern line, so we pulled out the vintage. But we did vintage modern play sets and figures, 12-inch figures. We even had David Hasselhoff make an appearance. Chuck Norris was there. And,
oh, you got to have Chuck Norris.
Oh, yeah.
Spock, Kirk, you name it. We had all kinds of people pass through.
So this was kind of like before the big boom of social media. Where did you post these right off at first?
I started out at the yakface.com forums. They had just, by the time I started posting these, they had just kicked up their newer upgraded forums, and I posted the first 15 in there. There was enough people that liked it that I went back and did 15 more, and then I started posting one per weekday in there, did that for about a year or two, and then migrated over to my own WordPress site and just continued it there for about 5-ish years. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the first time I ran across Yak's Pub was a little postcard at the Logos Youth Center at one of the little day comic cons that we put on out there.
Oh, you must be.
And I remember.
Was it one of mine or was it one of Vic's? Vic's.
It was probably it's someone.
Or Eric Shirey's. Who knows? Yeah, there were so many of us doing shows over there.
They all kind of fell under the same umbrella, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing the postcards, and there may have been like one or two different designs. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is genius! And of course, I got to know Scott later on through AllCon and stuff, and I never made the connection between him and Yak's Pub till like a year after that.
Oh,
even.
Wow. So yeah, and I want to point out first that the Yak's Pub takes its name from the Yak Face figure. You, like myself, are one of those people that others envy because we have a vintage Yak Face figure that was never released in the States.
Yes, I actually have two. That we have one that sits in the case and one that actually starred in Yak's Pub.
Oh, okay. So you have like a stunt yak to go out and
stunt yak.
appear in the camera.
Stand-in yak.
Yeah.
For up close shots, we have the one out of the case, but for wide angle shots, it's the stunt yak.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's some impressive work there in its own right. But you also, and one of the things we're going to publish with this, with your permission, which I'm sort of like ambush shaming you into giving me, an image of your amazing Heimlich poster.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was produced by Yak's Pub. And for the longest time, I had a bunch of them, which we would give away at shows and stuff. And I'm hoping to get my hands on some more sometime soon. But it's great, as you will see with this particular episode, a wonderful take on the Heimlich maneuver poster you might see in like the just around the corner at a fast food place. So someone who you really hope you'll never have to trust your life with can run back and forth while they're trying to give you the Heimlich to see. Only done with stormtroopers.
Yes.
And you made extensive use of the ultra-articulated Stormtrooper. I think that was probably the greatest thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah, it the one particular trooper that I liked the most, it came in a battle pack years ago through Target. It was the Tantivore battle pack, and you got like three or four in it with Darth Vader. The Darth Vader was total crap. And it was that trooper. I went out and bought a second pack, and sadly, out of the six of those troopers I have, only one of them the pegs for the hands still actually fit in the hands. The rest of them, in the arms, they've already broken. And so I'm down to one poor, lonely little stormtrooper that has both of his hands.
And that's a sad story for all of us. So please give to the Handless Stormtrooper Foundation when they come knocking.
What were these troopers doing that their hands fell off?
Later.
Well, I'm going to go into that. Good workout, though.
That's right. I think there's like a thing you can actually generate energy to power your devices that now available for that. I heard about it on the radio this morning. But we came here more to talk about, though I could probably do a whole show on Yak's Pub because it was just so much fun.
And we'll do that. You can do a half Yak's Pub, half Star Wars holiday special show.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
And ironically, the production values on the Yak's Pub were considerably greater.
Yes. I had a larger budget.
Exactly.
If you ever make that happen, you have to get a B author custom figure to throw in there.
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, true. I've toyed with the idea of bringing back Yak's Pub just for the explicit purpose of doing the Hot Date Special too.
Oh my god! Oh,
how
awesome!
How wonderful! In fact, we were kicking around the idea of doing a holiday special sort of thing on the live show, but the idea came to me like in November.
Like a week before. And,
yeah, we're like, there's no way we're going to do this justice. We're going to get Sith Joker on board, and we're going to do this whole big thing, and we decided, no, we're going to wait and see if we can make it happen for this year. But unlike Eddie and myself, but like Bobby Blakey and a few others we know, attended a little event very recently on the West Coast, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, a very, very small, teeny little gathering two or three Star Wars fans, yes.
Yeah, this was the thing about it is you get two or three Star Wars fans together in Anaheim, California in that early part of April or the mid part of April there like that, and pretty soon they're there in the thousands.
Yes, and they're all in line next to you.
Yes. That's right. Yes, it's... I guess the practical downside is the line, but we're of course talking about Celebration 7, which was very recently as we record this. I'm sure very fresh on your mind. Was this your first Celebration?
Ha, this ha, ha. Was.
Oh,
very
really?
Yes. Being a school teacher, the fact that you have them in August, generally they've been the week right before school starts, and for those who don't know, that's probably the busiest week for a teacher, and asking off any time during that week pretty much ensures you're going to have a bad year.
You can pretty much forget that right off the bat. Yes. So, well, that's great.
They make exceptions for the teachers that planned poorly to start a family, like if they were delivering, but they probably frown upon the fact that you want to go and play Stormtrooper at Celebration.
Yeah, that would not have gone over well.
Not the same as giving birth.
Yeah, so, right in the middle of class time, though, they had no issues with me taking 5 days off. So, I loaded up the good old VCR, dusted off some old chemistry videos, and left my kids for five
days. Mr. Science!
Yes.
Only in the school system do they still use VHS, I guess.
What you got, man.
Hey, let me tell you, that school district paid $217.96 for that thing 27 years ago, and by God, they're going to get every penny out of it.
That's right.
I guess the whole Arkansas school system, though, is still running off of VHS.
It's because all of our computers are connected with Twine, so we can't stream anything yet.
Well, you need to upgrade to Yarn. You can stream better with Yarn.
That stuff's expensive.
That's so true, Damn,
we just lost our Arkansas audience.
The two guys that listen in Arkansas, we just lost them, yeah.
That's right. I went to all the trouble to start streaming. But
in Arkansas, we don't call it streaming, it's stringing.
Stringing.
Streaming is when they go down to the stream
and peak. To the creek.
To the creek. Yeah, the creek. Exactly.
Down to the creek to relieve themselves.
Yes.
So, overall, give me your impression of your first visit. Catherine and I were fortunate enough to go to Celebration 6 in Orlando a few years ago, and it was beyond imagining. But so you arrive, it's what, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday type thing, or was it?
Bobby and I roughly traveled together. We were on separate planes, but we were together in our hearts. And we both got to Anaheim, and his wife had rented him a car, which that was an adventure unto itself just to get to the rental. But this was on Wednesday, the day before everything started. And we knew it was going to be an adventure when the first thing that we did when we got into Anaheim is Bobby almost ran over Lando. He was going across the crosswalk, and Bobby just almost rain anymore.
Really?
That's pretty rude. I mean, Lando might not be the most popular character of the series, but at least he deserves our respect and not being rude.
I mean, we stopped, but it was a close call.
In Bobby's defense, if Lando hadn't been drinking so much Colt 45, he hadn't been paying a bit more attention.
This could be true,
Then, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Or drinking hot chocolate, depending if you're reading the Lando Calrissian novel.
My initial and final reaction on the whole Celebration experience was wow. it blew me away. I was glad that I had attended some of the smaller conventions in the past that I have there in Dallas, because it was good prep work for knowing what to expect.
Yeah. And
the fact that I've actually been to Disney World a few times, so I understood what it was to wait in line for 2 to 3 hours to pay off for just one little thing.
For 15 minutes or 15 or less
minutes excitement, yes. But yeah, it was wow. I mean, it was amazing. And
yeah, I heard the gift shop lines were like 3.5 to 4 hours long of a wait.
Bobby and I waited on hard concrete for 3.5 hours the first morning and ran. We knocked over a couple of old ladies, but we ran.
Nice.
to the store. We were in and out in 20 minutes.
What?
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He didn't mention.
Oh, yeah. If you
y'all lucked out the first day and did that.
Yeah, if you do that, yep. I guess very first thing. But like, and I guess if you are targeted and don't shop, you know, if you zero in on what you want and don't do a lot of like, you know, browsing.
Yeah.
I imagine that makes a world of difference as well.
It does. And we finished with the celebration shop, and then we went over and we checked on autograph lines, and then I was there to do a lot of vintage shopping, and that first morning I could not get into a booth. There were so many people. There were four or five people in a booth, two lines or two people deep, rows of people waiting to get into a booth, and it finally got to the point that I was aggravated. I went and did something else. It was a challenge.
Because when we went to Celebration 6, we were there with Jeffrey Carlton, the author of the Star Wars Super Collector's Wish Book, had been invited to go help him at his table over the weekend, which meant with vendor badges, we got to go to Wednesday night.
Yes.
To the store before the quote-unquote crowds. Wednesday night, there was a crowd.
It was vendors.
Yeah, just vendors and VIPs. And Steve Sansweet and Seth Green were there. But regardless of who you were, unless you just like went in, grabbed a Gamorrean Guard piggy bank and ran for a register, if you're like, you know, shopping, we were standing in line for about 2 to 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Edging our way down. Because, I mean, most people weren't there to buy a pen. They were buying 40 to 60 things.
Yes.
And it's not like they had barcodes on them and stuff. Or maybe they did, but, you know.
They actually had barcodes this year. And checkout went a little faster, except some of the workers didn't know what they were doing. And they were just slow. It was about like going to Walmart.
I imagine they don't spend a month in advance training everybody who's going to run the shop. They probably just bring them in there, give them a couple hour tutorial, and like, hooray, here comes 6,000 people. Enjoy.
Yeah.
So, but in the end, you get some amazing stuff. So what did you come away from the store with?
I got my Sock Monkey Wookie. That was a popular one. That was really nice. I got some of the trader pins so that I could trade for the Biker Scout and, of course, the Yak Face.
Now, trader pins, I'm glad you brought that one up because I understand.
Here we go.
In 6 seconds. Yeah, because I had to.
Yeah, someone's a little obsessed with the trader pins.
Yeah, well, there was one that I was obsessed with. I can proudly report that I have one now. It wasn't cheap, but it was cheaper than a lot of people were asking right out of the gate. But I did get the Hammerhead Trader pin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I understand that, like, they were gone. Just like.
Yes. Yes. That's the like, first thing people flocked to.
Yeah. Like somebody backed up a truck and bought all of them or something.
Yeah. They actually had a limit on them. You could buy 1 4-pack and 2 blind packs. And a lot of people were scooping them up and getting up to the register, and that was part of the holdup.
Oh, so then they would have to go and eventually get them back out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I was fortunate. I got my 1 4-pack and my 2 blind packs, and then through the course of the day, I was able to trade for the other two that I wanted, and you had to track those down, which that was an adventure into itself.
I saw, must have been on your Facebook or someone's Facebook, where the 501st had, like, a trading room.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
I've been in on some...
Was it just, like, scum and villainy?
No, it's just, like, wow. just imagine a room full of people from all over the world who all costume as stormtroopers, and thousands and thousands and thousands of patches, coins, pins, t-shirts, lanyards. If it's been made with the 501st Legion on it, somebody there probably had it. And it was just, it was a private event that only Legion members and the Rebel Legion could get into. You had to buy a ticket to get into it and all that kind of stuff.
But really? Yes. Wow.
It's a pretty exclusive little thing on that. Yeah.
You couldn't be like an honorary 501st member like Bobby. You had to be like legit.
Honorary members could have gotten in, but they would still had to have gotten a ticket.
Yeah.
This year they actually had to do the tickets because the hotel charged so much for the room. They had to also.
Oh yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, so we actually had to do tickets this year. In the past, there weren't tickets, but the thing was, Wednesday night, I got there, and I had traded through most of my stock Wednesday night in the lobby of the Marriott. Once one 501st person pulls up and opens up their bag full of patches and coins, 20 more.
Oh, yes, I imagine it's a free-for-all.
Yeah, and so we're swapping troop stories and just finally meeting people from all over the world that we've spoken to over the Internet for years, but
you know what's neat about that is, and this is true also of the general trading rooms, because I did experience that, and I was ill prepared for that aspect. You know, I was like, oh, you know, I could have fit at least something into the, into the luggage.
Yes.
Had I, been aware of what was going on with this, but to see things, like you say, people from all over the world, and there are things, especially in America, that we take for granted in the general Star Wars sense, and perhaps a little less so, but still in a, a targeted, specific type of thing, like, the patches and stuff that the 501st produce, that you forget that not everybody has access to that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's what Bobby and I stumbled one night. Gosh, it was 1 o'clock, and we were headed back from the 501st bash, and we decided, well, we're going to head back to the room because we had an early morning the next morning. But we stumbled on a vintage Star Wars Trader's Bazaar that was upstairs in the Hilton. We didn't even know what was going on. Ran into our buddy Bill Cable there. We'd been looking for him all weekend.
Bill Cable.
We go up the escalator, and there's Bill, and I'm like, hey, there's Bill. And then all of a sudden I'm noticing all these guys sitting on the floor trading vintage Star Wars pre-production items, and I mean just beautiful pieces. And my jaw hit the floor, so I'm running around like a kid in the candy store. No money, nothing to trade, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I hadn't seen one of those in years. And then the next night, the organized one that the convention put on, that the collectors groups had upstairs in the convention hall, went up there, and it was a trader's swap meet. I went in, and I felt so bad when I left. I walked away with 3 of those miniature plastic Ziploc bags. I mean, we're talking those bags that are 2 inches by 2 inches.
Yeah.
And the kind you always see in the movies where drug dealers are selling dime bags. I dropped $80 on 3 of those little bags, and I'm like, I feel like I just went and bought drugs. Actually, I think buying drugs would have been cheaper.
Might have been. You probably could have got out for a lot less.
Yeah.
But that's what happens to us as collectors.
Yeah, small little pieces of plastic to fill gaps in my vintage collection. I'm like, my gosh, I just dropped $80. My wife's going to kill me when I get home.
And it could have been kept a secret up till this point.
But you're allowed when you go to Celebration for stuff like that. Because you're only there once, maybe once every 2 years if you're lucky to go back.
Well, that's an interesting pre-story to the convention. The wife and I are sitting there a couple of days before I left, and she said, now don't go crazy buying stuff. And I was like, now what are you going to define as crazy?
Yeah.
She's that's a good conceit there.
And she goes, well, I would say $1,000 would be crazy.
Well, that would be. I'd have to back
so, I said, whoa. Like, now, wait a minute. Am I wrong? And I said, well, now let's put this into perspective. I said, this could possibly be a once-in-a-lifetime trip for me. I said, there's no guarantee Celebration will ever be held when I can go again. And I said, and heck, they may not ever have another Celebration in the U.S. You never know. It's never a guaranteed thing. And I said, there's going to be hundreds of vendors with thousands of pieces that I'm looking for. And so she's like, well, just call me. before you go, go on a big spending spree.
She's like, okay, 1,020?
Yeah.
But I mean, if 1,000 is crazy, that's the point where backward negotiations ought to be coming in. Yeah. So is 500 like kooky?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I did really good, considering what I could have dropped there. Of course, I was limited. I told her, I said, don't worry. I said, I'm still limited by what I carry on the plane.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I didn't even get close to the 1,000. I mean, it was. Yeah,
but also you can say, look, honey, I only just bought 3 things that night.
Yeah.
How about three
with the dime bag?
Yeah. Just look at it from the volume standpoint. Yeah, it is a very difficult thing not to just drop some serious cash at these things. You were talking about, you know, doing the training pens. When we went, was the first year they had the Star Tots.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And so I tried to attend. There was no way I was going to attend all of the panels. And I tried to attend as many as I could, and I got Catherine to sit in on a bunch of them with me so I'd have extra Star Tots. And I, you know, knowing I wasn't going to get all 20 or 25, that was not going to be in the cards, I figured at the very least I could get, I decided to zero in on the Cantina Creatures, you know, in tribute to Yak's Pub in a strange way. But to get the ones I wanted, because it turned out I did not attend a single panel that had a Cantina Creature Star Tot. But I had all these extras, and I was trying to figure out a good way to, you know, carry them around and show people in lines and stuff, you know, what I was looking for. And I went to a vendor and bought a vintage coloring book for like $3 because it was in a magazine bag and would make a nice sturdy backdrop in which I could put the Star Tots I had extras of and wander around and make trades with a little sign saying which ones I needed.
Nice.
So there are clever ways you can find what you need on the show floor.
Yes.
And then eventually the coloring book just wound up being placed in the studio because it was Return of the Jedi rather with a nice picture job on the cover.
I think I had that one actually.
But I was amazed also to find something at a vendor table for $3.
Yeah, I'd
almost bought that on principle. Did you go in on any of the Hallmark stuff? I mean, that's always been kind of a.
I visited the booth, and I'm excited about that. Well, let me start back from the beginning. Hallmark upset me. The whole itty-bitties, I was excited when I saw they were coming out, and I was preparing myself to shell out $7 a piece for those cute little plushies. And then they went off and did that exclusive at San Diego Comic-Con. Which,
yes, exclusivity, the bane of collectors.
Yeah, so I just totally wrote off the itty-bitties, and I posted a mean comment on their Facebook page, and like they even read their Facebook page. But I've bought my wife the Yoda back when he came out, and I'm excited about the Boba Fett. I will get him just because he's Boba Fett. And, of course, they'll probably do a Biker Scout down the road, which I'll have to get.
Naturally.
I visited the booth, checked out the new stuff, and I used to collect their ornaments religiously, but there just got to be too many of them. But I did look at those.
Early on it was feasible. Then they came out like 12 a year or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, when they had it one ship, one character, it was great. But now the minis and the maxis and the audio and the video and the live action.
That's right.
I mean,
the self-aware ones are just outrageous.
Same thing happened with their Star Trek line. It got to be too much, and I was like, man, no. But yeah, I do actually like the Hallmark Company, and they're a good company. They just upset me with those itty bitties.
Well, I have to say, the Celebration 6 exclusive ornament I bought solely because it was one of the most brilliant ideas. It was Obi-Wan with his lightsaber, Ponda Baba, a.k.a. Walrus Man, and his severed arm as the three ornaments.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, where else are you going to get a severed arm for your Christmas tree?
You'd be surprised.
Well, that's true. If you shop at Freddy Krueger's Christmas Emporium...
No, you've never seen how I store my Christmas ornaments.
Or it could be like those poor stormtroopers with no hands.
Yes.
Now you can just use all the hands as ornaments.
No.
Was there anything in the, going back a little bit to the Celebration store, because, you know, as a collector, I was just amazed, because the first several Celebrations, I don't know that there was that much that excited me, but by Celebration 6, it's like all of a sudden I'm taking notice. And they're starting, the thing that impresses me most is that they do some clever stuff.
Yes.
Like, you know, we don't cook out, and I never wear an apron. I cook a lot, but I never wear an apron to do it. But we bought the damn apron at Celebration 6 because it was a Bantha with the little dotted lines for the different cuts.
Yeah.
Like a butcher's chart.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Gamorrean Guard piggy bank was nothing, not only short of brilliant, but for a $30 price point for it to be ceramic and huge was unexpected. I was very close to shelling out $50 for the Tauntaun hobby horse thing, but couldn't quite get myself to do that. Especially because I'd already shelled out money for that Sideshow exclusive, I think it was Commander Gantch clone trooper, with the idea of reselling it, which I never got around to doing. I'm a terrible scalper.
You're the scalper that takes a hit or just ends up keeping it, huh?
Yeah, I just never bothered. I don't even want the damn thing. But I did make a friend very happy by still having one of the Hallmark ornaments around that he missed out on, so he got a great price on that. But was there anything in this year's lineup or this Celebration's lineup that just, you know, even if you didn't buy it yourself, that you just thought that was extremely clever?
The one that, of course, I think everybody saw online beforehand was the Jack in the Box with the space slug.
Oh, yes.
That was one of those just surprise hits that, you know, everybody saw it ahead of time online, but was like, there were the people that are like, oh, that's cool. But then when you actually saw it in person, Bobby bought one, and when we took all of our junk that we bought back to the hotel room, we videoed. So
I saw that. That was,
I'll see if I can send that to you and you can link to it.
Absolutely.
It's hilarious. I mean, it looks a little inappropriate when it pops out. But
that's it, true. Even
that's why Bobby bought it.
Yeah. But it's true. Even in The Empire Strikes Back, the slug itself looks inappropriate.
Yeah. And the fact that they didn't, you know, I was afraid that they were going to have some Star Wars music box.
Oh,
it
would be like,
but it is true. Jack the Box. It's fantastic. And the one that, I never saw a picture of it beforehand, but the Salacious Crumb wall clock.
I didn't hear about that till like,
the Japanese cat with the eyes and the tail that swings back and forth. They basically did that with the Salacious Crumb.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know they did that.
That was one of the surprise hits, I think. No, nobody was expecting that. And
it looks really cool.
Yeah, the Akbar sushi set. I was shocked at the number of people that were walking away with Akbar sushi sets.
See, I wanted that. Yeah, that's what I was really...
it's a wrap joke.
Yeah.
I saw that and I thought, oh, if there's something I wanted from Celebration, it would have been that.
And the thing was the one everybody had pegged for me. They're like, oh, don't you want this one? And, you know, I love me some Akbar. I'm well known for that. But that one, for some reason, just didn't. I mean, I don't have I don't have a Mighty Mug. I don't have a pop vinyl. It has to be Akbar and appeal to me. But the Jack in the Box, I was all over that. So I've got one of those coming.
Yeah. And I personally picked up the Death Star Fuzzy Dice. I was concerned that it was going to be actual dice shaped with little Death Star dots, but no, it's two Death Stars hanging on a string, so when it hangs there, it actually looks like a set of balls.
I was going to say that if you combine that with the space slug, it really gets inappropriate.
It looks really good to hang them from the Sock Monkey Wookie, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's how they're currently in my display case.
What the other thing that caught my attention was the alphabet blocks.
Oh,
that was really clever. I thought that was cute.
I didn't even see those in the store. Of course,
really?
I was so blinded by trying to find the pins that I grabbed my Wookiee, I grabbed my Death Star balls, and my pins.
Yeah, you want to make sure you grab your Wookiee.
You want to grab your balls, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was me, and I totally missed the blocks. I had intended to look at them, but by the time I remembered, the line was about 3 hours long, and I was like, it's not that important.
Yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to getting, I want to shout out real quick to Warren and Erica, who were goodly enough to grab me all kinds of stuff on my wish list. And so eventually I'll be seeing that when I get a chance to hook up with them. But they did grab the blocks, and every picture I've seen of them, they look amazing. They're some of the best made. Because, you know, there's so many places they could go cheap, and they, for these things that they buy these licenses for the duration of Celebration, and then that's it. That's the only place and only time those things will be around. And it'll be so easy to go in cheap. But I think they realize that if you do that, nobody wants to come back next time.
Yeah, for the prices that you pay for the stuff in there, I'm shocked at the quality of material. And it's, you know, it makes me not feel as bad for dropping some of the cash that you do on the items. Now, I was terribly disappointed being a biker scout in the 501st Legion. I was excited going in with the biker scout hoodie. And then I saw the $100 price tag. And
what?
Yes.
You're kidding
me.
Oh,
yeah. A lot of the apparel, I think the same was true.
Oh, my God.
There was some kind of Bosque thing.
I wanted the Bosque hoodie, but I had no idea it was that expensive.
$100. Yeah. And see, me, white hoodie, $100, that's not going to end well.
Yeah.
Well, especially since, you know, you can't wear it in Oklahoma, for example.
Yeah, even though I don't live in
Arkansas.
Well, you might pass through Oklahoma at some point.
It's like a...
I try not to. No, just kidding to all my Oklahoma friends out there.
But, I mean, I feel sorry for anyone in Oklahoma who was trying to buy hoodies and, you know, had that sort of double $100 price tag and can't wear it at home.
I'll wear it 2 days out of the year, and, you know, it's about like owning a hoodie in Texas. You just,
yeah,
2 days out of the year, you're guaranteed you're going to wear it. Other than that, no. And the problem is the 2 days in Texas that you get to wear it, well, you're snowed in. You're not going anywhere, so nobody's going to see it.
Exactly.
You can just sit there in your misery and lamenting your $100 purchase.
Yeah, you can't even get out to the store to buy bread and milk, you know, so.
Okay, Scott, I have to ask, while you're at Celebration, you had a very close brush with J.J. Abrams. Is that
correct? Oh, yeah. Yeah, more of a brush with his security detail.
Yeah, okay. So what's the story with that?
Oh, it was our first day, Thursday. Bobby and I, we decided.
Oh, really? It happened on the first day?
First day. Yes.
So you were already nearly hit Lando.
Yes, I almost hit Lando on Wednesday. Thursday, had a close run-in with J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy. So we're headed back to grab some lunch and drop off stuff at the hotel room, and we're headed towards the exit of the convention center. And just as I get to the door, these little guys, young little guys, come barging through there. Excuse us, watch out, coming through, be careful, watch out, just shoving us all out of the way. And my gut reaction was, oh, somebody important's coming through this door. So, and before I could even pull my phone out or my camera out to shoot off a picture, I'm standing within 3 feet of J.J. Abrams. I mean, he's just right there. And I'm like, oh, that's Abrams. And so I acknowledged that he's there. I said, there he is. I started clapping for him and said, thank you, Mr. Abrams. We greatly appreciate it. He turned, even in his haste, acknowledged me and said, hey, thanks. And I was like, oh, my gosh, my day is made. J.J. Abrams acknowledged me.
Did one of the security detail didn't push you out of the way?
No, not
do
yet.
Do not address Mr. Abrams.
Yeah. Well, and then Miss Kennedy starts coming through, and all of a sudden I'm like, holy crap, there's Kennedy too. And I'm like, thank you, Miss Kennedy, for all the hard work you do. But she being the stereotypical business lady, she was eyes forward and had that power walk going, and she didn't acknowledge me one bit.
For a second, I thought you were going to say that Abrams turned around and like flipped you off or something.
Yeah, no, it was a good. If I was
in your position, I would have yelled out, "Bring back Sidney Bristow!"
But yeah, you know. Everybody said you should have asked about Lost, and I was like, I didn't want to get beat down.
It was in the contract. No one asked him about Lost.
Yeah. What's up with that ending? Come on, man.
So I got to ask, since this has been such a big thing everywhere, cosplay, what's like the coolest cosplay you saw out there?
Good one.
Marvin the Martian.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no, Marvin the Martian was there. That you would not believe the number of non-Star Wars and non-Star Wars mashups that we saw.
That's neat, because we didn't – it was like, as I recall at 6 – I don't really remember seeing anything that wasn't decidedly Star Wars. I mean, most of it was mashups.
Yeah.
Or a lot of it was, not most of it, but,
Just short list. The first one, I mean, being in the 501st, you see a lot of costumes. You're around a lot of costumes. And so usually it, and then of course, I mean, even being in Dallas and at AllCon, you see a lot of costumes. And so you just kind of get numb to seeing costumes. But some of the standouts, the very first standout I saw, somebody had a holiday special Boba Fett. So, I mean, I stopped,
I stopped
him in mid-stride, and I was like, dude, I got to get a picture. Because, I mean, that was just
that.
I imagine as that Amen, character, that's somebody who moved 5 inches an hour.
Yeah.
Because they were constantly stopped.
Yeah. And it was – that was great. Somebody had a fantastic dart trooper. It was I shot it from a couple of different directions because it looked great. Of course
– The dart trooper is the big one from Shadows?
Yes.
I mean, not Shadows, the other one, Dark Empire.
Dark Empire, and then it showed up in the Battlefront games.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
It was also in Star Wars Battlegrounds. It was one of the units the Empire could build, and always been one of my favorites, and it was a fantastic Dark Trooper.
It's almost like the Hulk Buster of the Storm.
That's good analogy there.
Yeah. There was a great scuba trooper, and I actually met the guy who did that one the night before at one of the 501st events. He said, "Hey, watch for me. I'll be in the scuba trooper."
God.
And there were a bunch of Star Wars Playboy bunnies running around.
Yes, someone tagged me on a photo of the Mon Calamari bunny.
Yeah.
And there's something strangely disconcerting about finding that section.
Yeah, that bothered me. It was still cute, but there was something very unsettling.
Because you find yourself feeling strangely aroused, yet strangely perturbed that it might be a trap.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
could be like a transvestite.
Oh my God!
It's like, oh whoa, it's a trap.
Yeah. There was a great Spaceballs group.
I saw pictures of that one.
They basically had just about the whole main cast there. They were fantastic.
That's pretty cool. I saw someone, a gal did a Snow White Boba Fett. That looked pretty cool because it's so different. It was one of those ones I wasn't expecting to see, and it helped that she actually looks like Snow White. You know, the girl that did it.
Actually, I take that back. Boba Fett was not the first costume that I got a shot of. Bobby and I were sitting there Thursday morning waiting in line just to get in, and I look up and standing by the men's room is a very, very convincing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
A
New Hope Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there, hands tucked in his robe, waiting outside the men's room. And I thought, is he waiting for Luke? What's going on? Is Yoda in there? And then next thing I know, Qui-Gon Jinn walks out. And so it was one of those classic Kodak moments. Here's Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn exiting the men's room. And
that's beautiful.
Yes, the Force was flowing.
I think, you know...
In more ways than one, apparently.
I definitely am going to try to make an effort to get to Celebration 8, since I've got, like, some forewarning. There's plenty of time to start putting back some money for that sucker.
Now, you know the next one's in London, right?
Yeah.
That's Celebration Europe 3, though.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about, like, America 8. America! But in fact, years and years ago, back in the Vader cast days, we hatched this idea that we were going to have a campaign to get a Celebration to Texas. To the point where we were, you know, contacting some smartest friends about doing some imagery. I think Eddie remembers some of this stuff. As sort of our campaign imagery, we're going to have like a longhorn bantha. We're going to have like like a little old lady on the prairie, you know, with a bonnet and everything, and she's got her apron held up to feed the chickens. It's just a bunch of little scout walkers scurrying around her feet, stuff like that. And I started doing some research, because I thought, you know, we got to do this right. And I found out that you could fit any given 2 or 3 venues in the entire state of Texas, no matter where I looked, into the half of this, in the half of the center they were using in Orlando.
Yeah.
Because just the one half they were using was something on the order of 1 million square feet.
That's crazy.
Like, okay, I don't guess we're going to get that here.
Yeah.
Unless somebody decides to build something that, you know, you can house any 3 or 4 other convention centers inside of.
In case of I don't even think that you could do this in Cowboy Stadium.
No, you probably couldn't, even if there was some way for that to accommodate it all.
You could partition it off. I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even this place in Anaheim, it was huge, and it was still crowded. I mean, granted, they had a lot of area sectioned off for queue lines, but they had to just to manage.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have to know what they're up against in that regard now. But, you know, the costuming was one of the things that I really delighted in, because I actually had the foresight to carry my camera around with me most of the time. And unfortunately, a lot of my photos were lost. But I found that I'd put some on Facebook. I had some at work, and so a few of them I found. And one of my favorite costumes was this. It turned out to be these two women were dressed as a bantha, and they were accompanied by the green dancer from the holiday special, Bob Fosse number.
Nice.
And it was a beautifully authentic costume that took me like a couple of minutes of staring at this guy like, what in the hell? Oh, wow. That is impressive. And you also see, you're talking about, you know, being in the 501st. I'm guessing this isn't sanctioned by the 501st, but there seems to be an infinite variety of I guess you'd say variety troopers out there. Be it mashups, be it bizarre variations on the theme.
Yeah, they are not 501st approved, but typically they are 501st members who do a lot of the mashups.
Yeah, because they've already got most of the stuff.
They've got the armor, and it's usually a matter of just swapping out the head or this or that, or even just putting tape over certain things.
Because I saw, like, at 6, I saw a group of Muppet Troopers, like Kermit and, was it, like, Kermit, Miss Piggy, and Animal.
And they were there.
And I saw my absolute favorite mashup, probably second only to Ken the Elvis Trooper, who's, you know, been around forever, was the TKBK. I actually have a picture of him still. It was a guy running around in full armor with a big medallion with TKBK on it, a little hamburger squeak toy, and that hideous,
creepy
ass Burger King head.
That's great.
And it was much like the Mon Calamari Playboy Bunny. It was creepy yet strangely alluring.
You had to keep looking at it.
Yeah, it's like this walking train wreck.
That's crazy. Hey, Scott, amongst all the craziness, you probably didn't see it, but did you happen to see the Rocketeer Boba Fett?
I did not. No, I missed
that. Oh, my gosh. That was one of the other ones that was just, like, so clever, where the guy just smashed up the Boba Fett and Rocketeer.
Oh, nice. Yes.
I mean, you should look that up. That one is, like, a very well-made costume. It's something else. And it's one of those things where you see it and immediately you think, why hasn't anyone thought of this?
Exactly. Yeah, it's just the obvious.
It fits so perfectly together.
But I have to say, one of the other costumes that impressed me, and you know, of course, on the subject of mashups, I did see the Akbar Ghostbuster at Celebration 6. The obvious, it's a trap thing going on. But there was a woman that had stopped by the tables, and I had to run out and get her picture, dressed as Leia in the Hoth / Space Slug costume.
Yeah.
And she had affixed to the back of a costume a little pole from which dangled a life-size Minock. And it was just perfect.
Mm.
So, you know, it was maybe a tribute to the Minock Hunt set from the toys.
So, is the car show, is that a new feature, or is that something they have every year at Celebration? Because I saw like a Boba Fett painted up little car and
I can't speak. I mean, did they have that in Orlando? I know
they did.
A lot of those guys usually travel and pick each other up cross country on the way there and travel in caravan.
Nice.
David and Camille Petty.
Oh gosh, I'm going to draw a blank. Is it the F-wing? Is that right?
Yeah.
F-wing. Yeah, the F-wing was actually on display at in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I remember we were walking over. I didn't even realize that it was there. And we were walking over looking at the cars like, oh, my God, that's David and Camille's car.
Yeah, I want to think that this year Celebration actually kind of put out the word, hey, if you'll bring the cars in, we'll have a spot. I mean, they had the space. And
yeah.
It looked beautiful in there. I mean, just some absolutely beautiful cars, and it was awesome to see David's with all the others. Because I mean, it looked like a fleet of Star Wars cars. Is what
yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it was, I guess the Boba Fett one I was thinking of was like a little Hyundai something or other.
Yeah,
that's correct.
So David did have his car in there this year then.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And him and Camille dressed up in their X-wing fighter outfits and we're standing by them, and yeah, it was great.
Oh, that's cool.
That's for you. Oh yeah, there it is. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, very good. So yeah, we'll try to get a picture of that in there.
Oh, and then the giant Darth Vader Hot Wheel. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, that was nice. Yeah.
So did you get your picture with Roxy the Rancor?
I got close and got a shot of her. The line was a little too long, and yeah, I waved.
I have to admit that was one of the great benefits of going the way we did. Was being able to be there before and after hours.
Yeah.
And so I actually got amazing photographs, like myself with Roxy in the Emperor's Throne and the back to tank that the Belgian...
that was beautiful. Yeah.
...had built. And the only one we really had to finagle was the pictures I have with Jabba and Hammerhead in the cantina. Because we got over after we wrapped everything up over at the Super Collector's Wishbook table, and the entire Belgian Set Builders Club were all leaving en masse after a full day, and had that air of exhaustion that somebody who's been selling at conventions for half his life recognizes well.
Well, I mean, they spend all day making waffles. So
that's so true. To serve in the cantina, to feed Jabba's insatiable hunger for waffles.
For Belgian waffles,
that's right. But Catherine asked, said, we've been working over here at the booth all day, and we miss out on all the opportunities. And not only did they let us come in and take photographs, one of their number actually took the camera and insisted that he take the photos himself.
Nice.
And he took some amazing photos. I want to give another hats off and a thank you to those guys all these years later. Now, did you attend? Were you able to attend very many panels, or were you mainly out to see?
You know, I did not make it to a single panel.
Oh,
I had every intention to. I was hoping to pick up, just by luck, Boba Fett Star Tot, and I never made it to a single panel. We got busy doing other things, and anytime I went up thinking maybe I would catch the line at a decent size to wait, I was wrong.
Oh, yeah. In fact, most collecting, the collecting panels that I went to get Star Tots, you pretty much got in line while the current panel was running.
Yes, an hour and a half, almost 2 hours before, depending on the panel. I mean,
yeah.
And
good night.
The collector panels are really taken off, and it came down to, I made the decision, well, I'm going to spend more time going to another line, or
yeah, exactly.
Something just gave a little bit better payoff, in my opinion, getting something else done, shopping, or just, waiting for the autograph lines, or just in general, hanging out. I met one of my biggest Yaks Pub fans in person for the first time.
Is that not amazing?
Oh, it was great. I mean, we sat there for an hour and a half up in the collector's social room just talking. Guy lives up in Seattle, and, he's like, dude, anytime you come up here anywhere close to Seattle, hook me up. And he said, I'll get you into some really cool collections, let you see some really cool stuff that's up here. And so, I mean, it was just, I think that was one of the biggest things, getting to finally meet in person all of these people that I've been talking to for years over the internet, that we've swapped stories, we've traded patches, we've traded toys, we've bought and sold, we've read each other's stuff, we've marveled over each other's pictures and collections.
Wow.
And then we could finally just stand there, shake hands, and be like, wow, this is really cool,
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like Napoleon Dynamite's brother when he finally gets to meet his soulmate. You know, yeah. when that girl
LaFonda,
Fonda, there you go. When she steps off the
totally
bus,
totally had a LaFonda moment. Just
yeah,
without,
that's so true.
Time chief with the crystals, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
They just like give each other big medallions with the giant Egyptian eagles on them. But yeah, in fact, I'd gone to the Gus and Duncan party. Jeffrey had tickets for that and had somehow got double booked or something and gave them to me and asked if I would, you know, pass on to them his greetings. And I was there hanging out. And of course, that was the first time I'd ever done trading cards for the Jedi Cole universe. And I was handing, I brought like 900 trading cards and left Florida with zero. And I was handing them out at the party, and somebody's like, oh, yeah, I listen to you guys all the time. I'm like, wow, you know, this was, what are the chances that you're going to cross paths with somebody who's actually listened to your work and at least claim to enjoy it?
It wasn't like walking around at AllCon where every time I turned the corner, somebody was like, hey.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But, you know, it at least once a day, somebody recognized me. And then, of course, my entire convention was made when somebody looked at me and said, hey, you look just like Danny McBride.
Wow.
Well, you know what's ironic is a lot of people stop Danny McBride and say, you look a lot like Scott Horn.
Yeah.
Did you do Yak's Pub? I swear, it was like Statue of Limitations, man. No, that was a website. Oh.
Poor Danny McBride.
Well, since we're talking about panels, I got to do a quick shout out to our buddy Jeff McGee, who does the Star Wars podcast Bantha Banter. Now, this is pretty amazing because Jeff started up Bantha Banter back in October, so it's only been around for like 6 months. It's a great Star Wars podcast, and I don't listen to a whole lot of Star Wars podcasts because those guys who do those things are kind of weird, and I try to avoid them. Oh, wait.
Yeah, you should definitely avoid anyone who does a Star Wars podcast. But, I can endorse that.
What's so cool is, like I said, he started this thing about a half a year ago, and he was able to be invited to take part of their first annual Star Wars podcast panel.
Oh, nice.
Along with Corey and Dan from Coffee with Kenobi. So he got to join them, and even for like a day, his picture with Corey and Dan was the picture on the main page of StarWars.com. So he was like really excited about that.
Oh, excellent.
Not only did he get to bring his podcasting whatever to Celebration and actually sit and address a crowd of people there to listen to Star Wars podcasters, but he got to be on the main page of StarWars.com. I thought, that's pretty cool.
That's impressive. Most impressive.
Yeah, most impressive. So definitely check out Bantha Banter at MarvinDogMedia.com and Coffee with Kenobi. I'm going to go on a limb, say CoffeeWithKenobi.com, I'm guessing.
But sure. We will look into that. We'll put our crack research department.
Google Coffee with Kenobi.
Yeah, they have made that part of the internet so easy for us.
Oh, yeah, that's how we found Yak's Pub.
That's right.
I'm just happy it shows up in the search.
I'm just happy somebody's bothering.
Just don't do the search. Don't do what I did and actually search Death Star balls, because that's going to bring up something completely.
Oh, yeah. I got the Urban Dictionary entry for that one myself.
What was the other thing? The Jack in the Box thing.
Slug in a box.
Slug in a box. Yeah, that's another one.
The Wookiee Socky.
Wookiee sock puppet was another. Yeah.
See, I didn't really so much want the Wookiee sock monkey, but I wanted the Wookiee brass monkey. But
well, Wookiee sock monkey was actually the name of my cover band.
Oh, okay.
I just couldn't decide which band I wanted to do a tribute band to, so I just did a tribute band to, you know, whoever I wanted. Like, tonight we're doing Gordon Lightfoot and Rush.
So you were just a tribute band of tribute bands.
That's right. We're going to do that. We're a tribute band to the Stars in 45, so.
Oh, my God.
Tribute band of a tribute band. Oh, my. Well, it sounds like, you know, the thing about it is I really wish I could have gone this year. It would have been interesting to experience it from the standpoint of actual people who attend and have to stand in those lines because, you know, I did stand in a lot of lines, but not all of them.
It's brutal. It lets you, it reminds you of just how old you have become. And sitting for 4 hours on a concrete floor 3 days in a row, it.
No, but being the oldest person I have ever podcasted with reminds me of how old I am, Scott.
So aside from JJ, who, what other celebrities did you meet out there?
Let's see. Got to meet and got the autograph of John Ratzenberger.
And, oh, yeah, I see.
There's, you know, Cliff Clavin from Cheers, and I don't remember what his name was from Empire Strikes Back, but he's, you know, when the
Major Bryn Dalen. That would be Major Bryn Dalen.
Yes, yes. I threw him for a loop because being a science teacher, I have lots of science catalogs, and it just so happens back in 2010, he did a photo shoot.
Oh, wow.
One of the catalogs that I order all my rockets from for class, I still have.
Oh, that's funny.
So I pulled the introductory page from that catalog with his picture on it that gave a little bit about some of the work that he's done for education, and I flopped that down in front of him. He's like, what is this?
Oh my gosh.
That right there was the reaction I wanted. And so
exactly.
He was a bit jet lagged, so he was a little out of it. So I mean, of course, it had been 4 to 5 years since he had done the photo shoot too. So I reminded him what he was. He's like, my gosh, I forgot all about that.
He's like, who the hell is this guy? Oh, yeah. Wait, that's me. Yeah.
So Scott's like that guy who carries the Playboy to the convention so the Playboy Playmate can sign the centerfold. Except you're throwing out the science catalog to save it.
Yes. I figured there was nothing more geeky that I could take than
Yeah, it's like the person who takes the you know, somebody who's famous for one big role, and you go and take the DVD cover to some obscure movie they did in the.
Yes. Yeah. I figured. See,
I'm that person because when Colleen and I went to go meet Leonard Nimoy up in Oklahoma, we didn't ask him a single thing about Star Trek. The only thing we wanted to talk about with him was In Search Of. And his face lit up when we said In Search Of, because he was probably so sick at that point talking about Star Trek.
Oh, you mean it wasn't the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins?
Oh,
no,
wow.
I was not going to piss him off.
Yeah, but I would imagine that In Search Of or his work on Mission Impossible as Paris are things that no one even thinks about that cross their mind. When you say Leonard Nimoy, all of a sudden you just see pointed ears and a weird haircut.
And I'm the opposite. When I hear Leonard Nimoy, I think In Search Of.
And I'm all about the story now. Yeah, I've met some celebrities, but it's those that I have the story with, and
exactly.
That's what I was going for on that. I wanted to be that guy that, no, I didn't bring the Star Wars figure. I didn't buy the Star Wars print. I wanted to put some, you know, and I even saw some people with some Cheers stuff, and I was like, no, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to be the oddball.
Yeah,
the one guy who had the science catalog.
Yes.
Yeah, that goes beyond bringing him a Toy Story ham picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all some Toy Story stuff. And I was like, no, I'm not going to get something too good.
You're going to bring the single most obscure piece of memorabilia
that
can be had. Well, with that, I'm anxiously awaiting the announcement sometime in the next few years of Celebration 7. Probably going to be in California. Or Florida, since apparently you have to go to either coast to find a venue large enough to house all of us who love Star Wars around the world. I mean, it's little wonder that the Celebration Europe 3 is in London. I don't know if they have like an Olympic committee or something like that who works that out, but.
So I'm guessing they're not going to bring it to like Reunion Tower anytime soon.
No, I mean, highly unlikely. I don't think you could fit even.
The 501st.
Half percent. Yeah, you couldn't even fit all the 501st that would be attending in that space.
It's funny you mentioned the Olympic Committee. If it grows much more, they may have to start looking at Olympic size venues.
Or find a host city that's willing to build a Star Wars village.
That would be awesome.
Well, yeah, wouldn't it? I mean, this is where we have our Hoth ski jump. It's in Akron,
I'm sure the Belgians would come in and build half of it.
Oh, yeah, probably would.
There you go, they would.
And very well, by the way. But I think in closing, I do want to point out that one of the things that impressed me, and I'm sure there was a lot of this there, there was, you know, a giant atrium in the building in Florida that was purpose-built for this giant, presumably inflato Death Star. Mm-hmm. And then you had the probably quarter-size AT-AT on display, and some other just impressive set pieces that were here and there. And I'm sure there was a lot of that, and the Belgian set builders and the folks who bring in the life size. I saw the Jell-O pudding pop mobile was there from episode 7.
Yes,
and that's one of the things that just blew me away. Especially was the fact that there was so much stuff that was either 1-to-1 scale or just colossal pieces that that's not the sort of thing you throw together in your garage and drive it out in the U-Haul.
Yeah.
This stuff took probably days, like the life-size Rancor that apparently is made entirely of styrofoam. Or not entirely, but it's mostly styrofoam. And you look at the thing and you're like, no, there's no way. And I remember going to sneak a picture one night and the head was gone. And I asked, I said, what's up? Oh, I heard the 501st took it for their party. They had to have the head. And when you're looking at the thing, you wouldn't imagine you could just pop the head right off the thing and borrow it for the night. But the impressive fan built stuff.
The ingenuity that goes into it.
Yeah,
it blows me away because there are while in progress threads on some of those posted on our 501st forums, and just watching the build process of those things, it's amazing because these guys will sit down and figure out, okay, well, we've got to be able to move it. We've got to be able to get it from one convention to another across the nation or across the world, and they'll put pen to paper and figure out how to do that.
Yeah, that's just...
It blows my mind.
And we'll leave the science stuff to you on that one, because
if they ever need smoke or pyrotechnics, that's
your you got the chemical end of things.
Yes,
squared away.
He's got the simple tricks of nonsense covered.
That's right.
Yeah. And so you need Jabba to smell like Jabba. I can arrange that.
But, all right. Smells like that kind of gym sock fish market grandma. kind of. Early morning at the zoo smell.
Mothball smell.
Yeah. Death Star ball smell.
Gross. Well, Scott, I'm thankful that you made it back alive, especially with Bobby Blakey.
Yeah.
No, it was an adventure. It would not have been the same if we both had not been there.
You know what? Give us the best story you and Bobby.
We do need to have this. Because Bobby's not going to listen to the damn thing anyway, but we want to know that it's out there so people can mention it to him later.
Oh, man. Just the opening with getting chastised by his wife for us acting like a couple of kids when we were leaving the airport, almost running over Lando, and...
I guess the Lando thing is a pretty big story.
How does Drew not expect that you and Bobby Blakey... acting like kids is, at
Has
this
she
point,
not been to
Archon
ever?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was almost Archon all over again, just bigger, grander, and just more awesome. I mean, and it, 12 o'clock, we decided to leave the 501st bash, and we didn't get back to the room till 2 o'clock. I mean, it's just, that's typical style. We set out a plan to go from point A to point B, and between there we find all the other letters. And
it turns out that
by the time you get to point B, Bobby's wearing a Slave Leia outfit or something.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And, he got chastised by Dutch Delaney. On that
y'all, y'all are like the Harold and Kumar of Celebration.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, it involved the horse head that I wore. We ran into some Irish folks. There were Texans involved. Then Bill Cable and Star Wars stuff that there's no way either one of us could afford if we pulled our resources. And
yeah, remember, you can't go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was just... And then a taco truck... it was just, I could not even begin to come up with just one story out of the whole batch.
That's, I can imagine. Having known Bobby as long as I have, and I'm pretty sure you've known him longer, anytime you get a concentrated dose of Bobby for any length of time, the stories are legion.
Yeah.
And usually you have to get a penicillin shot afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, you've roamed with us at AllCon. Cole, you've seen us pop in and out during our roaming. And, it's just imagine that with thousands of more people, more things to get into.
More trouble it caused, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah.
Well, I think that is the perfect conclusion to our exploration of Celebration. I mean, certainly we could go on for days. We could probably do a whole series and talk to
people. I was going to say, we should probably do a follow-up episode with Bobby to get the
other side of
the story.
Yeah, we probably should. Exactly. So, Bobby, we understand that you were in a taco truck in a Slave Leia costume. Can you address this?
While drinking blue milk and...
That's right. And with a Mon Calamari Playboy bunny on one arm and... Bill Cable on the other. How does this work?
Bill Cable in his 3PO onesie. Bill had on a 3PO onesie.
Bill Cable?
You don't know
CreatureCantina.com? Is that right?
Who? Wait, what?
Creature Cantina.
CreatureCantina.com sucks.
Yeah, absolutely hilarious web strip that he did for years. Oh my gosh!
He was at the.
He's an actual artist. He doesn't take pictures like me. He really draws.
Yeah,
things.
He was actually does drawings and,
and all the photographers listening to this say they're not artists.
But yeah, he's been to two AllCons. Todd got him to come into a couple of AllCons, but he's also a very upper level. Focus collector on C-3PO. The bulk of his Star Wars collection, I mean, he's got an impressive general collection of vintage items, but he specializes and focuses on C-3PO.
Oh, very
and,
nice. I did not
know it's,
that.
It's one of those things that if you had a question about especially a C-3PO vintage item...
Like the gynecological tape dispenser?
Yes. He would know the answer to it.
Oh, very nice. In fact, by the way, I do want to point out that I don't think Creature Cantina sucks. It's just that Bill Cable had everyone at AllCon holding up a sign that said CreatureCantina.com sucks, and he was taking their picture.
Yep, and that's his story that he gets with celebrities. He will wait in line to get their autograph and then ask them if they'll hold up the sign that says Creature Cantina sucks.
Well, very good. Well, we will definitely try to get Bobby to sit down and talk to us a little bit as well. Scott, thank you very much. We were going to be in touch again because Eddie and I we're very close to getting this all arranged with everybody because of disparate schedules. But the Rancor Pit is going to begin a new series called Embedded with the 501st.
Nice.
And we're going to start out here locally and then start to work our way nationally and internationally and try to, every episode of the recorded and live show, do a little bit of news about what the 501st is up to, be it for fun or for charity work, because they do a ton of amazing work for charity. But they also do a bunch of just amazing stuff, and it's just a really cool bit of Star Wars fandom that I think needs a lot more coverage through this show.
Oh, we appreciate that. And you will
be our point of contact with your garrison.
Diamond Garrison.
So I'm hoping to have some of the local 501st on the live show soon. I'm hoping to have Eddie back on the live show soon.
Yeah, I see he's disconnected.
Yeah, can y'all hear me okay?
Sure.
At least you can hear me. I can barely hear you.
That's because we were talking about you and we're trying to keep it.
Oh, okay.
Keep it quiet. Before we lose any more of our tech, we will say good evening. Thank you very much, Scott, for joining us.
Hey, Eddie, thanks for having me.
Eddie, thank you. This has been great. This has been the Rancor Pit Celebration of Celebration, and we will see you here, or you can hear us here, in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense.